We began our program with simply praising God in the middle of our trouble. And we look directly at the trouble and what it means then to look at the pain. And then we hear an invitation to come and to Jesus. And then we spend some time responding to that invitation through prayer. And a result of going with Jesus, or having him go with us, rather, through that difficulty, is joy and peace. And that's the last section of our songs. We want to lift up Jesus this morning and invite you to do that with us.
Creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing, Alleluia, Alleluia. inside. We fear no powers, nor of earth, nor sin, nor death. He sees and blesses in worst distresses. He can change them with a breath. Wherefore the story tell of his glory with heart and voices, all men rejoices in him forever. Alleluia. We shout for gladness, triumph for sadness, love thee and praise thee, and still shall raise thee glad hymns forever. Alleluia.
Said it well when he said, it's good to be here. I'll add, it's good to be here with us. it's been quite a journey singing these songs. And all the times of rehearsals, it never really connected with me. Songs of praise through pain, or in spite of pain, or however you want to say it. And then finishing with songs of triumph and songs of adoration and songs of praise. It's just been really good this week to be a part of this. And I'm looking forward to finishing this one right here. I was set dumb. Let's say I'm looking forward to singing through this concert right now. Not finishing it. Okay. What I'm trying to say is that it's been a growing, a learning experience for me in more ways than one. One of the things that I've discovered is that I'm just not keeping up with these young people. My body tells me it is really time to slow down. Someone asked me how I'm feeling, if it was good to have time off. I said it wasn't, and I'm tired. And yet my spirit is rejoicing, and I thank God. This next song says, we thank thee, Lord. And it goes and lists a number of things. But my main point with this one is I thank God because he's been with us.
We bow before
From that last song. It was just a prayer crying out to God. Do you really hear the children's prayer? And while we were on tour, we all really got to see a lot of pain in people's lives. And we just ask, why, God? Why does this all happen? And sometimes usually we don't find out why right away. Sometimes we'll find out in the coming years, but even if we never find out for sure why stuff happens, we can always trust God and know that that He is there for us. And this song just talks about, we're asking God questions. Can you even hear our cries? Can you see our tears that we cry? And do you really feel the pain that we're hurting? And the answer to that is, yes, child, I am with you, and I do feel with you. And it's just such a comfort to know that Jesus is right there with us. And I mean, it might seem kind of cliche, because you always hear, you know, God's with you and everything, but it is really a comfort to know that Jesus is with you, and all we need to do is trust him. Because if God brings you to something, he will definitely bring you through it as well. So I just praise God for that.
Just want to also highlight the fact that my sister-in-law, Rachel Kipper, wrote the text to this piece.
Comforter, tenderly saying, Come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love, and power. Just a wonderful invitation, kind of continuing the theme of the last song, an invitation to come to Christ. And I think most of us have come to Christ, and as James alluded to in his message, that's a continual thing that needs to happen. And we are a forgetful people. We tend to stray from him. I'd like to direct your attention to the second verse, the text there. It says, agonizing in the garden, lo, your master prostrate lies. On the bloody tree, behold him. Hear him cry before he dies. It is finished. It is finished. Sinner, will not this suffice? The work of Christ on the cross is sufficient for our redemption. And I think we all believe that, at least on an intellectual level, but maybe functionally, the way we live sometimes, we're living in a bit of a state of denial or unbelief, where we think that we're sufficient of ourselves, that we're able to save ourselves, and yet nothing can replace the work of Christ and his grace to save us. And then the third verse goes on to say, let not conscience make you linger, nor of fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him. Sometimes we're hesitant to come to Christ because of our shame at where we failed. But his invitation, no matter how many times we stray from him, is to come again. He is ready. He is willing. He is able. Doubt no more.
Thank you. physician does not come to make whole people better. He comes to heal the sick. It seems kind of strange that he would say that to the people, because spiritually speaking, all of us are sick. All of us have got our issues and hurts, and only Jesus can offer that healing. The difference, though, is whether or not we are willing to come to Jesus. As we heard, he is able. So in this skit, we've got characters with a number of issues, and listen to their response to Jesus' invitation and some of the hesitation that they deal with in coming.
Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, as you live your lives on this earth, you face a lot of difficult things, a lot of hardships, and trials, temptations. And I understand. I came and I walked this earth as a man like you. And I was rejected by people. I was laughed at. I was tempted by the devil himself. I was mocked and scorned and beaten. I died to set you free from the yoke of Satan's tyranny. Because Satan's yoke is not easy. And Satan's burden is not light. Come, walk with me, and you will find rest for your soul.
Jesus, I am completely worn out. I'm so tired of being this perfect person that doesn't even exist. I'm so tired of performing for all these people. And then again, there are advantages to being popular. I mean, everybody likes me. If I come to you, they're all going to know that I'm a fake and that I don't have my life together. But I want freedom so badly. Would you please help me?
My child, you are healed.
Okay, Jesus, your invitation sounds really great. I'm not sure if you can take care of all my many fears. I mean, wow, there are a lot of people here. I wonder what they'll think of me. I wonder if they'll like me. Only I could be like Miss Popularity over there. It's so easy for her to make friends. For me, it's tough to let myself get close enough to people. It's hard to make friends. Anyway, Jesus, I'm not sure if I can give you everything or follow you in everything you ask me to do. It seems so risky. I like to have some control of my life. I like to keep my life fairly comfortable. But then again, maybe I'm not in control very much when I'm lying in bed, awake at night, with myriad fears going through my mind, each of them taking their turn at keeping me awake. Fears about what will happen tomorrow. Fears about meeting that friend that I had a disagreement with. Fears about being a high school music teacher. Fears about what God will do with my life. Fears about death. I mean, I'm pretty sure I know what happens when I die, but sometimes the thought of dying just terrifies me. Yes, Jesus, I need help with my fear.
My child, you are healed.
Jesus, do you really want me? I'm so worn out trying to please everyone in my life, and it just seems like I end up failing every time I try. I mean, when I was a kid, I tried to do things that my parents told me to do, but somehow it just seemed like I couldn't quite do things good enough for them, and I just ended up like a big disappointment to them. And now that I'm grown up, it just seems like
I haven't turned out the way they expected me to, and yeah, I just haven't fulfilled their expectations for my life, and it just seems like I'm just this huge disappointment to them. And then when I was in school, it just seemed like when I asked teachers questions, it just seemed like they ignored me, and then when they did answer my questions, they made me feel stupid for not knowing the answer, and I just felt so worthless, and I didn't really think like I could do anything very good. And then when it came to my friends, well, I really do like friends. I mean, I'm sure everyone does, but somehow I just couldn't quite be a very good friend to them. I tried to please them, I gave them lots of gifts, and somehow, even when I tried doing other things for them, I somehow messed things up and I failed them, and then they didn't like me. And it just seems like I failed in everything that I've done. And I'm ready for a new life, and I've heard that you can heal me, and I'd really like to be your friend, but I don't know, can you accept me even if I make some mistakes sometimes?
My child, you are healed.
Jesus, I'm not quite sure where to start. But a few years ago, I supposedly became a Christian, and I became a member of the church. But then it just seemed like I didn't really grow. Like, felt like I went right back to where I came from. I went back to the same music I'd been listening to and watching movies that I know my parents wouldn't like me to watch. And I don't know, it's so hard because a lot of my friends around me still do that. But I know it's not what you want, it's not what other people in my life want. But it feels like if I had given myself to you again, then I know I'd fail you again, and I don't feel like I'm worthy of that. But I know that what I'm doing now isn't really working out. So if you can accept me, even if I'll fail you again, I would like to start anew. If you could just heal and forgive me. Yeah.
My child, you are forgiven.
Jesus, I'd also like to come to you, but I don't know if I can trust you. Everyone I know seems just to reject me and leave me alone. In my family, my parents, well, they don't really care what happens. They seem as if I don't even exist. And my friends, well, I try to be nice to them, but they just seem to push me aside too as if I'm a nobody. And I know you faced rejection, but I don't know if you felt it to the extent I have. I mean, it's bad. I really want to trust you, but I don't know if I can. Well, if you'll accept me like I am, then I do want to come.
My child, you are healed.
I'd like to come to you, Jesus. I'd like to give my life to you, but which version do you want? I've made up so many stories about myself, I don't know if I even know what the truth is anymore. It started out when I was young. Just told a little lie to get out of trouble with my parents. But then as I got older, it grew into all kinds of things. I see how unglamorous my life was, and I'd make up a whole new person. I don't know if other people can really tell or not, but there's so many things about my life that aren't true, and it's a big, tangled mess. Every time I tell a lie, I have to tell a couple more to cover that up, and I'm sorry. But it's a big, tangled mess, and I've got to get it sorted out before I can come to you. Or would you take me like this?
My child, you are forgiven. I was wounded for your transgressions, and with my stripes, you are healed. You have come, and you have found healing and forgiveness. Now go and find others who are hurting, and bring them to me, so that they too can find rest for their souls.
Turn our attention to responding directly to God through prayer in song, and just invite you to pray with us.
how inspiring it was going to be to give programs in prisons. And I was just very blessed with how responsive the men were. One of the things that touched me very much was thinking about how we're all going to be in heaven together. And even though a lot of those men have lived such completely different lives from what we have, we can find this point of commonality in the cross. And it's just amazing to think of all of us being together in heaven and praising God together.
Free to all.
As the earlier song, Come Ye Sinners, said, all the fitness he requires is to feel your need of him. And that's one of the things the Lord has been trying to tell me this week, and I'm not sure how well I'm learning it. But the fact that he wants us to just come and give ourselves to him, it's not up to us to make it work. And that's beyond just our Christian life. It's anything he calls us to. It's not our fitness that makes us able to preach or to lead singing or whatever. We need him to be able to serve him. And last night, we were singing at the prison, and afterwards Eli was sharing some, and he said that trusting is resting. And that struck me. And this next song, O Love That Will Not Let Me Go, it says, I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depths its flow may richer, fuller be. And the last verse, it says, O cross that liftest up my head, I dare not try to hide from thee. That's what it is. I lay in dust, life's glory dead. And from the ground there blossoms red, life that shall endless be. And so as we give ourselves up, and as we trust him fully, his love supports us and enables things way bigger than what we could do on our own. I praise him for that.
434, and help us with this next piece, O Love. See, I think I'm wrong. Can someone find that number for me?
To the section of peace. And in Hark the Glad Sound, it talks about when Jesus comes back, when the Savior comes. Back when Jesus came, all the Jews were picturing political freedom, political peace from the Romans. And that's what they're expecting, looking for when Jesus came. If he came to bring peace in their hearts and bring salvation. So, I'm thankful that Jesus came and that we have peace now.
Hark the glad sound!
is also joy. And our next song is reversed in your program. It's Come, God Loves All His Many People. It's basically an invitation to come to Him and receive His joy.
Come to Him, friend. Come to Him, friend. Come receive His joy. God loves all His many people with surpassing love. Blesses all as His own children, cares for everyone.
Using water metaphors in it. And it's just kind of interesting, shall we say. It seems like there's a lot of contradictions. And you know, God seems like He contradicts Himself with all the many qualities He has. For example, like the one line says, never river so peaceful while raging out of control. But I get this picture of a river that is deep. It's really deep. And it's flowing incredibly strong. But on the surface, it's just extremely peaceful. And I see God is peaceful, but He doesn't, when He comes into our lives, He doesn't just stop with just a little section of our lives. He comes in and He takes over everything. And He just flows everywhere out of you. And that's what I've been feeling on this tour. I felt very uninspired most of the times when we start singing. But somehow, the Holy Spirit comes and just flowed through me. And I know it's because of the prayers you guys were offering. And I'm very thankful for that. But it was amazing to feel, it wasn't me. It was God flowing through me. And the only reason that's possible, in the chorus it says, plunge me deeper, let your living water flow, or no, yeah, water flow, to the depths, sorry, take me to the deepest ocean, and let your heart and let me go, there we go. And the point being, God's love is big, and once we're in there, there's kind of no part of us that's out of it, and we can't help but ooze love, if you know what I mean.
You are the river of life. You are the joy of my soul. You are the raging river out of control. Riding the waves of your glory, depths of joy I not know, release the deep.
Is the loving purpose solely to preserve them pure and holy? Does not say pure and happy. It's pure and holy. That will and sometimes involve unhappiness. And it will involve times when you don't feel like things are going right. Last song, the second verse, it said, from all evil things he spares them. It doesn't always feel like he is. Sometimes it feels like he's just pouring it on. But it's because his purpose is to preserve us pure and holy. This next song talks about when we go through times when we feel like God just isn't providing for us like he should. The last verse says when fields wither, flocks and herds are gone. God still abides the same. And we don't have to understand why he does these things. But we know that he is still faithful. That he's preserving us pure and holy. That's his purpose.